Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming in live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined every week, as I am, by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, all-round good bloke and Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shinazzi. How sad are you?
Scale of 1 to 10, I'm about 7.5, Newman, a strong 7.5, only because of what we're seeing is so inept. Where are you, Newman? Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We're in the upper, we're in the low, we're on the hill. We're in the Leafs Club interviewing people. Come join us.
And the official records will read that the Sharks were beaten in the local derby by St. George, 20 points to 16, which leaves us in 13th place on the NRL ladder after two rounds. It was a tale of two halves, Samuel. A strong southerly breeze rampaging from the Monty Porter end of ESCGS meant that the Sharks kicked away to a 14-0 lead, but then threw it all away with penalties, ill discipline, and just general rubbish play, and lost the game.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. And let's go to the end. Why can't we play against 12 men? That's twice in a year. We just can't beat a team with an extra man, yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to... That should have been the end of the game.
I've got another question for you. Why can't we kick off?
Why can't we catch kickoffs?
That was my third question.
These are the questions I do not have the answer to.
Okay, first half, really good signs. They're up 14-0, as you said, up to about the 37th minute. They played really good. Chad was controlling the field. They were forcing dropouts. Merlin looked good. Pryor was having a great game. Bakuyi was going nuts. I love what I saw. I thought it was really, really good. I thought we had it in the bag. And then, as usual, we let in a try just before halftime.
Yep, Sharky snooze button.
And
the wheels well and truly fell off.
What happened at halftime? What was the talk like? What was the feel like? Something happened for them to come back out and play like they'd never played football before in their lives.
Now, I've got theories about this.
Do you?
So I've been... I've got a few contacts down at the club, as people know.
Do you?
And I've been mining those contacts for as much information as I can get.
Prodding them.
It's getting to the point now where like I ring them up and they're like, I've got no comment. I'm not telling you anything because whatever I tell you ends up on the podcast. But what I have found out is there's been a come to Jesus meeting. For those who don't know, the corporate world, a come to Jesus meeting is where you have a meeting and all your grievances get laid out on the table with no fear of retribution. It's an open and honest forum. And Flano got the playing group together and basically said, this is bullshit. The number of penalties, the number of errors is way over the top, and there's been a significant change in the way that that's going to be dealt with. So once upon a time, the club, the playing group had a way of dealing with errors, right? And obviously, that's not working.
I'd love to know what it was.
Well, obviously, that's not working. You're supposed to be accountable to the group. But the thing that gets me right is the errors are being made by the likes of Wade Graham. Okay. Last year, it was errors being made by Maloney. This year, Moylan's made a couple now.
You could define it as the people earning the most money in the team.
Correct. That's the point I'm trying to make. So these are the senior players that are making these errors, right? And so it's so easy to see why it infiltrates into the rest of the squad if the senior players are being made to get out away with it. Wade Graham, case in point, right? He's been made vice captain. His involvement has plummeted, and his error and penalty rates have skyrocketed. Now, how does that work when he gets essentially promoted? So there's something wrong with the accountability.
Not looking at the stats, Newman, not looking at them, just watching the game, the two games, I would go as far as to say he's been non-existent in the two games.
Correct. So they've changed the way that errors are going to be recognised by the group. So keep your eyes peeled on if there's a different reaction when a player makes an error, because they've finally addressed it, and I believe there's going to be a change. So
when you
see.
Say the way they behave after an error is made, are you referring to late in the game when Big Andy got up and was laughing like he was watching the Super Nazi episode of Seinfeld or something? What was it, what was that about?
That's so frustrating. That's so frustrating as a supporter to see that he just laughs.
Now, I can understand that he's coming from the point of laughing, going, how could you get that wrong, ref? I understand that mentality. But when you've lost the derby and your mates have lost the derby through the same mistakes you've just made, you can't get up laughing.
No. So my issue is, though, how come it's taken them this long to arrest it? Because it was a problem all last year.
Even in 2016, it was an issue to an extent. But last year, it was unbelievable. And then the whole talk off-season was just to minimize those two things. And you got a great team, got a great chance of doing things. And both games have been stifled by the fact that they've mucked it up with the same two things, errors and penalties. So nothing's been done. Why? I'm not sure.
It just makes me look at Shane Flanagan now as somewhat of a reactive coach. He'd never give anyone a debut over an established, reliable first grade if it was there. Val Holmes, Mitch Brown, for example. But this year, he gives Katoa a start over Aaron Gray. Holy heck, right? Someone's playing bad. It used to take him like 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 rounds to drop them. Val has one bad game of fullback, gets moved. Aaron Gray has a dud game. He was dreadful. He gets punted. Flano, all of a sudden, is looking like a reactive coach. And I don't like it.
And it's an obvious example as well. When you talk about reactive, for a year and a half, we've been crying out about these penalties and errors. Suddenly, the press get onto it last week. Oh, yeah, we're going to address that. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. And that should have been a year ago.
Well,
that's reactive.
I'm
going to
put it out. We miss Ennis so badly. We miss Ennis's leadership on the field, and we miss his leadership at training.
Yeah.
And you're going to think this is predictable. Luke Lewis not being there just harms the team so much.
I don't think that's predictable. And he's been named on an extended bench. I don't think he's going to play this week.
He won't play.
But he's close.
Just the way that Chad drifts across field all the time. Moylan's not a straight runner. Like, Luke Lewis straightens us up.
Newman, first half.
Yeah.
Everyone looked good. Second half, not so good. How come they can do it without Luke Lewis in the first half and not the second half?
Good point. But they can't hold it together.
Yeah, they can't. They can't.
They can't hold it together. And I think that we're talking about how good the first half was, but we only scored 2 tries in a penalty.
Let me tell you this, Newman. I don't have the exact stats in front of me. You can go online and look at them. But in attack this year, and it's only 2 games. It's only 160 minutes. We're way down the bottom, and we're, I think, something like 2 line breaks in 2 games. The attack is looking scary at the moment because it's not there.
Well, I'm struggling to think of a time when we've put together a period of attacking, expansive football. You know, we talk about the fact that they want to play touch footy with Moisa, but it's just ruck it up the middle, ruck. And at least for the first half, Chad Townsend was putting the ball in the in goal and getting us the ball back. Mm. But there was nothing amazing about the tries that we scored,
or the
play that we were putting on. We looked, you know, when you see some of the play that teams are putting together, they're playing really expansive second phase football, and we're, you know, playing this real, you know, for want of a better word, flano ball. And that's got me worried as much as the errors and penalties. Because I think with the possession that we had in the first half and the Dragons looking a bit shell-shocked, we should have been 20, 22, 26 up.
The attack could still come. That could be a work in progress. Josh Dugan, pretty strong game of fullback. One crucial error kicking out the full, but that he's not alone there. Are you keeping him there? What are you doing?
I'm keeping him there.
Yep.
And you know what? If he plants the ball down on that try, it's probably a different result.
Yeah.
Well, it is a different result. But he didn't, and that's an error. And he kicked the ball out on the full. That's a bad, bad error. Like, Moylan not catching the kickoff. That's a bad error.
I was going to say, I've been defending him for 2 weeks now, but I can't defend that one. And even though I thought he had a strong game in a lot of aspects, that was crucial. And I can't defend that. I thought Dugan played with a lot of heart, whether that's because it was the derby against his old team or that's how he's going from here on in, I'm not sure. But I
he
like the signs.
Like that. He played like that against the Cowboys.
I like the signs. Like, yeah. They were good. Let's get to the ghost in the room, young Val.
Oh,
he only had about 5 touches.
One bad error.
Yeah, first half he looked somewhat enthused, but that was gone the second half. He looks like a shell of a man. I've heard during the week, Newman, that he might have had a come-to-Jesus meeting as well, and that the players are hopeful that he's going to pick up his kit and play.
What did you hear? He got called into the coach's office?
And also a bit of the leaders have had a word to him, including Mr. Gallen.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like he didn't want to be there. That's for him to...
He looked sad.
He looked sad, yeah. He looked really sad, looked really depressed. And
see, I don't think that's not playing fullback. I think that's just the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Mm.
But he's a professional athlete. He needs to shake that off.
I mean, it's all relative, right? Everyone's probably looking... He's 22. Everybody's looking at him and saying, you know, come on, mate, you're on 500, 600, 700, whatever he's on. Big money, way more than anybody else your age earns. You got the world at your feet. But if he's got problems and they're weighing down on him, he's got problems, they're weighing down on him. But fact of the matter is, if you're not trying, wow.
Yeah, I want to see how it goes this week, Newman, and I'll reassess after that. But again, he wasn't on his own, but that's not an excuse.
Okay, what did you make of the Nanny McDonald try? Val could have put him into row 3.
See, I thought he tried there, but either he didn't try hard enough or had the wrong technique. I thought he put his body was there, but
there's no leg drive at all. He put his shoulder into him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a winger's dream. Your opposing winger's up in the air. You can absolutely batter him without fear of reprisal. He's
unprotected.
I kind
of feel like he made it hard for... Val made it hard for him, but not hard enough.
No. That was another... You know, that's a for me, that's a try off the back of an error, a defensive error from Val.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's obviously got stuff going on in his life, and, mate, you're paid to play footy. Just get out there for 80 minutes and at least try. The whole, I don't want to be there and I'm not trying, that's what grates on people. And, you know, if he thinks he's going to go to the North, there are rumours flying around that he wanted to go back to North Queensland, but if he thinks he's going to walk into North Queensland number one spot with that form, you'd be sorely mistaken.
I'm not really going to believe that stuff till I hear him say it, but
fair enough.
There are rumours flying around.
Well, it's not hard to put two and two together, is it?
No, it's not. Matt Pryor, 73 minutes. I like that.
Well, that's another thing we need to talk about. The bench rotation is weird.
And the bench. So the bench we had, Newman, was Capewell, Seguiaro, Big Arva, and Captain America. Capewell, 21 minutes. Segi, 18. Arva, 24. Paulo, 26. Of those four guys, Arva and Paulo got through some work, particularly Arva. It's just not a strong enough bench.
When do we say that Kurt Capewell, it's just not happening? Like, it looks like it's almost going to happen for him, and then he makes an error.
Does he need to be an 80-minute player?
I don't know.
Is he not a bench player?
But when he's played 80 minutes, he's been underwhelming. You know, the last time he played 80 minutes was that walloping we got against Brisbane, and Tata Moga made him look like a mug. That was the last... Well, I could be wrong, but that was the last time I can remember him playing 80 minutes. And
we've got a bit of mail later. We've got a lot of mail later on. There's some on him, so we'll get to him later, Newman. But I'm not sure what you do with him. I'm waiting for you, Ellie, to come back, which might be next week. Whether he's picked or not, I'm not sure. I'm confident he can do a number for us off the bench, which means we have to get rid of one of these guys. I'm wondering what Kurt Dillon's got to do to get a shot. Big prop off the bench.
Haven't seen him play for Newtown, so I don't know how he's going. I mean, and there were rumours flying around that we're signing Aidan Tolman, so then there's, you know, there's obviously people thinking that we're not strong enough in the prop. But I just think that I'm not a Seggy fan, right? Not a Seggy fan by any stretch of margin. But he comes on in the game. It's so far along, it's very difficult for him to make an impact. Now, he comes on and the opposition's... One of the things I don't like about him is he comes on, the opposition's meant to be tired. He doesn't create much in the way of try scoring. Like, he scored a try against the Cowboys, but other than him creating tries, we don't seem to score when he comes on the field, generally, except for that one try that he scored. Like, for 20 minutes or 18 minutes or whatever, it's so hard for him to get into the game.
I was under the impression, Newman, last week that Jaden was playing strong, and also off topic, Bakuyu was playing strong as well. They both came off relatively close to each other, and I felt like they had a lot more juice left to give. And then Seggy comes on. I'm not blaming for him for this, but the Dragons come back in attack, and I don't know he's not shoring up the line enough. I don't know if they missed Brayley out there. But for me, Brayley was doing nothing wrong. He was actually going okay, and they brought him off. It's like the alarm bell goes off the clock. Oh, time for replacement.
Like they, well, it probably does because
but
when
that's
they,
not cool.
But when, well, it is because when they do the training, they have they when they do training, they train for certain for the game to go a certain way. And obviously, they're only giving Brayley 60 minutes because they feel that his body is only prepared to give 60 minutes, and they train for that circumstance where he's going to play 60 minutes. That's the game plan.
Yeah, but from the upper ET, he looked like he had more in him. So,
well, he probably did have more in him, but I mean, the game plan is as Flano designs it, and they design it at training for him to play 60 minutes.
It's not working. The bench rotation is not working.
I totally get why he gets taken off, because he's a tradesman-like rake. He gets the ball to the halves. He makes a lot of tackles in the middle. He plugs a hole, and his service is generally good. In terms of offering something else in attack, he doesn't do it. Now, whether or not Flano thinks he can't do it and he's coaching that out of him, a la Michael Leisha, or he just doesn't have that in his first grade game yet, he's not creating.
Why don't we do it how they used to do it 10 years ago, or, you know, 15 years ago, Michael Sullivan was running around for us. Bring Seggy on in the 31st minute, and then bring him on in the 65th.
I like that more.
You can't just throw Seggy out there and go, hey, do something, and doofus is like us criticize him. I mean, yep. It's not fair on either player.
And you say, well, you say Jaden Brayley's going to play 60 minutes. Give him 30 minutes in the first half. Have a 10-minute break. Then you get 10 minutes for halftime. So you've got a 20-minute break.
To be fair, we are less interchanges than what we were 10, 15 years ago as well.
I like it. Bring Seggy on with 6, 8, 10 minutes to go in the first half when the opposition are tiring. Let him at him. Or don't pick him at all.
Second half stats, Newman. Second half stats only. We lost the penalties 8-3. They made 40 more runs and about 350 more metres. In defence,
so they ran for 350 more metres.
Yes. In defence.
Just in the second half.
Yes. In defence, second half only, we made 60 more tackles. In defence, second half only, we missed 20-6 tackles. We missed 14 more tackles. In the second half, we made 10 errors. In the second half, approximately, we kicked for a total of 40 metres.
Well, we didn't have the ball.
I understand that.
Let's look at the 10-minute period when Nightingale gets sent to the sin bin, right?
Oh, do we have to?
We kick a penalty goal, which is just crazy in my...
levels the score up, but I know what you're saying.
In retrospect, it's crazy because it eats 30 seconds of the clock. It's what the St. George wanted us to do. When the penalty gets given there, St. George are going, oh, God, we're down to 12. I hope Cronulla kicked the penalty goal. For that reason alone, we should have gone for the try. Then what happens? They kick off. Moylan drops the kickoff. Then we don't see the ball again for what? Like,
I don't know if we did.
I don't think we got the ball back again. Or maybe we did, and that's when Gray dropped it. But far out. We didn't have the ball for that entire 10-minute period. Like, look, how badly did we manage that period? And that comes down to the leaders on the field. Gallen, Townsend, Moisa, Graham. That's on them.
And Dugan at fullback?
It's on all of them.
Aaron Gray. Now, we both were skeptical but open-minded, given he had a good preseason in training and in trials.
Fair assessment.
We heard a lot of great reports from
Ross.
Former players, Ben Ross, and from coaching staff. And I saw a few interviews, and I was like, give this kid a chance. He's saying all the right things. Seems like a decent enough guy after making an error that some, you know, 18-year-olds make in life a few years ago. And, man, he stinks.
He was terrible. What can you say?
Just dropping the pill on your own line in those moments early in the set.
Well, two carries. One thing our game is built on, and the back five, the centers, wing, and fullback is really strong carries out of our own end early in the tackle count to get us on the front foot. If you're not doing that, don't let the door hit you. And those errors were, I definitely think one of those errors was in that 10-minute period.
Yeah.
And Flano would have had steam coming out of his ears.
Yeah, and it, unfortunately for Gray, he's been left out of the squad this week.
Which sees Jesse Ramian.
Yeah, gets a
shot. Which I'm excited about.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to say that Gray cost us the game because that would be a ridiculous statement, but just it's so unfortunate for him getting his shot and then just mucking it up. It wasn't even kind of, it was all pretty clear cut. They were just bad errors.
Yep.
Let me give a shout out to your boy Fecky. I thought he was admirable in the way that he carried the ball back out of our in goal. Val was missing. Ricky was quietish. I thought Fecky really, he keeps standing up in a strength point of view. Like he's hard to tackle. He'll make 15 meters. He's not scared of putting his body on the line. So yeah, just a quick shout out to him. So I thought he was good.
One positive from the game, which I really liked, and I was talking about this last week, was how Chad Townsend was taking like all of the kicks, right? Moylan steps up, puts a couple of those bombs up.
Yeah,
the Dragons
good.
Just could not handle them. I love that. And also a couple of deaf little short kicks almost resulted in a try. Capewell stuffed it up.
One where he went early in the tackle count and it was almost a 40-20 as well, which I thought was pretty smart and good vision. I think Moylan's showing some really good signs.
Mm.
Whether he needs the team to play better, whether he needs more time, I don't know what it is. I think he'll get there. Like he's got the talents. People are sort of now saying, well, geez, if Dugan doesn't work out at fullback, you throw Moylan back there. And apparently he's great at number one, but it does wreck up the rest of the team. Plus, he's trained at number six all summer.
I actually like this. Let me throw this team mix at you. Moylan in one.
Yeah.
Val and Dugan on one side, the left side, the side they played for Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Telly and Fecky on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Or Katoa in for Fecky when Katoa comes back.
Yeah.
Hodkinson and Townsend in the halves with Moylan at fullback.
Well, that could work.
You've got the Australian centre wing pairing. You've got New South Wales' most recently successful half in the side.
Yeah.
And, you know, Moylan, he can pop up anywhere. You're not getting much speed out of Hodkinson and Townsend. Now, that's hypothetical. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but I like that.
I think short-term it could be successful. Don't know about the whole year. Let's see what happens. We've got another game this week. That's the beauty of rugby league. You play another team.
Just this start. It's irritating me, Sam. Losing derbies. Losing home games. It annoys me.
My year's over. Like, we've lost the local derby. Or you're playing Wollongong. Yeah, well, big deal.
Yeah. And then you see Manly turn out at Brookvale Oval and win like 54-0. Why can't we have that attitude to our home games? So annoying.
You remember the text I sent you on the way home, Newman? I was walking home and a bunch of little kids were razzing me. A bunch of little Dragons kids were razzing me. And I was on my own and they had about 10 guys with them. And I was close to losing it. It wasn't. It was fine.
I know. It's not like you to lose your cool, but you lost your cool.
Well, I wasn't happy with the team putting me in that position. It wasn't these kids razzing me. It was the team putting me in that position.
Speaking of blow your cool.
Yeah.
Before the game, we are having a great time. We're in the club with Dave Faulkner and John O'Docking.
What about that? We had some King Wan with my friend Brendan. It was a great night, and then it was ruined.
I know. Like the club, somebody needs to know how annoying it is.
We also are back to Sharks TV and we have Ben Ross with us and he was telling us what the derby meant to players and
exactly.
I was buying in.
I know.
And then an hour later.
I know. It's so annoying. Anyway, there's not much. We're irritated. Everybody else is irritated. If you read the forums, if you read the pages.
They're more than irritated. They're explosive.
My question to you is, do we panic?
Not yet. 2015, 0-4, still made the finals, had a good shot at doing stuff. Different team. I think that if we lose to Parramatta, who are coming off a 54-0 loss, which, you know, there is a bounce back there. There's a stat there. If we lose to them, then, you can maybe start panicking. Let's see what happens against Parramatta.
At the disco.
It's not like the Sharks to panic about stuff.
No.
Let's wrap this one up, Newman.
All right, so we're going to cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we will have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio, voice of the fans.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
They move it down the field through Kingston, who runs inside the 30. Here's Peachy giving it to Kamali. A flat pass on his outside. Clifford Manua, a ball back in the inside for Paul Mellor. Manly haven't touched the ball in what seems like a quarter of an hour.
Welcome back to Sharkcast Radio, the voice of the fans, and now we've come to the section of the podcast we call the news, where we see what's washed in across the muddy waters of Seattle, Washington, where Nirvana and Kurt Cobain grew up and gave us some great music. Newman?
What was Seattle, Washington?
Oh, hang on, I'm back in Cronulla.
What was that intro?
Oh, man, my mind's always going back to Seattle.
I love it.
The news. Newman.
All right.
Can I start?
Yeah, you can.
We have the news of the A-League. The Southern Expansion.
Southern Expansion.
They want to be the next team in the A-League, probably around 2019, 2020. And Shark Park, Southern Cross Group Stadium, is now in the running to be one of three stadiums they're going to use. Unfortunately for them, the other two are Jubilee Oval and Wynn Stadium.
Dumps and dump, dumper.
But I'm okay with it. I think it's a bit more cash for us, a bit more use.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, we got a letter that hasn't been into the run sheet. Michael from Canberra asked, there is talk that there's a Chinese consortium behind this Southern Expansion bid, and they want to build a $300 million stadium at Loftus.
Yeah.
Now, let's play hypotheticals here and say
they
build a world-class type stadium, a similar stadium to like what Melbourne are in or the Titans are in.
It'd be good.
Do the Sharks move there?
Or you could play eight games there and have four at Shark Park. No, I don't think they move there. Unless Shark Park falls apart.
You don't think we move to a world-class stadium?
Are 30,000 people going to go turn up and watch them?
Maybe if you give them that facility.
Maybe if they win a game.
Mm.
No, my gut is not to move them.
But you're moving them. They're the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
The Loftus Sharks.
I think that could be a huge eventuality. We're still in the Shire.
Could it happen? Absolutely. Would I do it? No.
You wouldn't move them if there was a $300 million stadium, six railway stations up the line.
I personally, no, but I can see how someone else would think
right
that.
Write into us and tell us, okay? We want to know.
We could have a big game there, like I don't want to move a derby there, but you could have a big game there.
No, you're crazy.
Semi-final? Hey.
I reckon you're crazy.
Semi-final.
I reckon you're crazy. If someone else is going to build you a $300 million stadium up the road, you move in holus bolus.
Well, that's your opinion.
Okay.
Are they going to have an upper ET there?
Probably not. It'd be a modern stadium. But all right, it takes all kinds. Write into us. I want to know, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. If the Chinese build a $300 million stadium at Loftus, do you want the Sharks to move there? What's the next bit of news that we have?
Let's just fix it up. The Hong Kong Property Organization.
Orientals with their oriental money.
Please, Newman.
What?
You're on the ledge. Come on.
What are you talking about?
Come on. New South Wales Cup.
Okay. So, we've got some results. The mighty Newtown Shark Jets, like every other grade, won the derby, beat the Dragons.
Hey.
And they won 24 points to 12 with tries to Scott Sorensen, William Kennedy, Blake Braley, and Edric Lee.
I know those names.
Yeah, so the shining lights are the Sharks contracted players who are full-timers, which you would expect. Now, congratulations to my mate Dave Howlett. Jersey Flegg had another win with a last-minute 22-18 victory over St. George at Cogra Jubilee on Saturday, so they also won the derby at Cogra, right? And some beautiful football played. And they won it on the bell, played in very hot conditions, and a try to Josh Carr in the dying moments. And my mate, Isaac Loomy, scoring a try there. Tasha Gale Cup, Sharks 68, snuck home against Parramatta 6.
What's going on there?
It's just, it's 9-a-side.
Yeah.
And it's...
But every week we're winning by 60. Are we the best?
We've got a good team.
We're the best?
Yeah.
Good.
You're going to say I'm on the ledge here, but we have a lot of athletic, young, blonde girls.
Sure.
Right? And a lot of the other teams have gone the other way with the Polynesian big girls.
Right.
Okay? And
they are hot conditions they're playing in.
Yeah, and our defense, like our little girls, they're terriers. Right? They go up against these bigger girls and whack them, and then they just kill them. It's really good to see.
Okay.
Matthews Cup had a loss to... Parramatta 30 points to 8, and the SG Ball Sharks, who I know a lot of the boys in the team are having a wow, absolute stormer of a season, 35 Parramatta 16. It's a big win. Parramatta have traditionally been incredibly strong in that age group, so well done. Watch out for my mate, he's the lock, Kai Parker.
Yep.
He's a strapping, young, blonde-headed thing. And he is the youngest kid in the squad by a long way, and yet he's playing in the first team every week and storming them. So watch that name in the future, Kai Parker. Injury news, Samuel.
Yes, Yoni Katoa isn't that far away. I think we all had some bad visions of him not playing for a long time, but he's back at training, and they're hoping week 6, probably more like week 7, he'll be eligible to play. Whether he slots back in due to other people's form, not his, I don't know if it happens, Newman.
Well,
hope
a lot of people listen to the podcast and don't watch Sharkcast TV, and Ben Ross was on Sharkcast TV talking about how tough Sione Katoa was. He basically tried to hide that injury and say, I want to keep playing. Like, he had a broken jaw, and he's just going, no, I've just knocked a tooth out, let me go. How tough's that?
That's what you want to see. Obviously, his damage, get him off the field, but as a fan, I mean, that's just, it's so tough. It's a tough game they play, and for him in his debut to do that, he's waited so long to play, and it was a nightmare. But thankfully, he'll be back pretty soon, so that's great news.
Yep.
Lukie Lewis on extended bench, probably won't play this week. Let's see what happens, but... Definitely not playing. Maybe next week, so that's good news. Braden Ueli, he is back training and possible round 4 inclusion. This one's surprising a bit, Newman. Young Kyle Flanagan will play for the Jets this week, so he's back playing rugby league.
Yeah, and broken the thumb. Plan, I believe, is to have Kyle Flanagan playing as much against the big boys, quote-unquote big boys, as he can to get him ready for first grade. Everybody just chill the beans on Kyle Flanagan. He needs time in reserve grade to round his game out. And I wouldn't... Now we've got Hodkinson on the books, I wouldn't bank on seeing him, if at all, in first grade. But give him time. He's like a kid.
I could see him getting a shot later in the year if needed, or if other people aren't firing.
We'd be in a bad way if he was to get a
call.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at.
But we're 0-2, lost the derby, so we're in a bad way.
Throw him in. Any more news, Newman? You got anything?
Been
sniffing around that club. Let's talk about... There is another podcast episode out this week. It's out right now. You've hopefully already listened to it. It is my friend Newman talking to Tim McAleer. McAleer, I apologize.
How did you think I went?
I loved it. Look, I'm not going to lie to you, Newman. When you sent me the audio, I thought it could go one of two ways. It could be boring as batshit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, 35 minutes talking about the club. Like, not the club, the league club.
Yeah. That was my initial reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not here to shoot you down. I backed you. I listened to it and I thought, ooh, this could go the other way. I come to blows. But I thought you both handled yourself really well. He was biting back. You were biting back. It was all truths as far as I could tell. And it was informative about the club, about the football club, about the future, about the past.
Yeah, well, see, the past is a black cloud. Like, I have some evidence that I can't publish that what he says is maybe not the whole truth. But, I mean, now that's 2011. It's a long time ago. And he is a sharp operator. And if anybody's going to get the league's club firing on all cylinders, it's going to be him.
For people who were at the game and complaining about beer queues or not enough beer or at the club and there wasn't enough beer, etc., you need to listen to the podcast. Just you'll find the episode on there before this one. And it's a great listen. And he explains a lot about licensing and that kind of thing. He's very honest about that.
Now, I wasn't going to jump in and say it, but I know a couple of people that own like smaller venues in the Sutherland Shire, like little bars, etc. And what's happened is there's a new licensing sheriff, a new cop in town, and he is like, I don't know, you don't want to say like a Nazi, but he is a very robust policeman, and he's down everyone's throat, and he's literally been walking into smaller venues and saying, it's 12:02, you've only got a license until 12, there's a fine. And he's in everyone's grill, and that's not just the Sharks, it's everyone through the Sutherland Shire, and he's making it very difficult for everyone.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Five gongs for the men from Cronulla. As it comes back for Kamali to go to Cavalli. He's put it down for try.
Got it down.
Straight up above to Neela Tuaki. And Hampstead has asked the touch judge, what have you seen? And he wants to have a look at the put down. Well, he's high-flying Luke Cavell.
And now it's coming to the time of the show where we see what little Sharky rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has dropped into the slot at 1 Eddinghausen Lane, Woolaware, which is Sharkcast Pod HQ. You can get us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Twitter, Instagram, Facebook with the handle @SharkCastPod. We are nothing without your input, and we are also nothing without our sponsors. Make sure you support them. Dyson Logistics, Shark Island Brewing Company, the Royal Motor Yacht Club at Port Hacking, and Endeavour Property Services. All of them are legends, and they need your support, and we also need you to buy things from them so that their investment is worthwhile. Now, before we do the letters, there's one bit of news we forgot. Trucker hats are now available.
You ripper. I haven't even seen them.
No, because you're going to pick them up tomorrow on your day off.
Okay.
And we'll post information about them on social media. They look unreal, but keep an eye out. And if you want one, send us a message. But essentially, it's a light blue trucker hat,
mm-hmm.
okay, with the old 1980s logo, and it looks sick. So I think they're about $35.
We'll confirm all that.
But look out
beauties.
For that. Now,
absolute
sharkcastpod@gmail.com. What is the first letter you have? You've got a shark tooth-shaped letter over in your hand. Rip into it, Samuel.
Speaking of rip into it, boy, we've got a lot of mail here. First, I'm going to go with Jay. And Jay was on the old Facebook. He's got a nice group that he monitors. He says, after the Dragons game, the discipline errors are still in question. Fifita gives away a penalty, laughs at the ref, and does the same stuff next play. Seggy needs more game time. Brayley has potential, but he's one-dimensional. Needs to run more and pass off the ground. Arva should get more game time. I'd start with him and have Fifita off the bench, like, in my opinion, his best year, 2013.
Not the worst idea I've ever heard. It's funny, though, because people say so-and-so needs more time, and then you say we don't use the bench players enough. So
I wonder how Andy would feel about that. Remember that whole New South Wales thing?
Oh, man.
Thank you, Jay. We covered a lot of that already.
Yep.
So
we've got Greg from Mudgee. And Greg from Mudgee says, I saw something in the Dragons' loss. Dugan showing heart, but Valentine Holmes looked like Flano peed in his cornflakes. That is not good to see. And he thought Chad played out of his skin. The try assist to start the scoring and good short kicks into the in goal. I think that's fair assessment.
Yeah,
we're not going to argue with that, are we?
A great letter from Greg.
From Mudgee. What's happening in Mudgee, mate? Send us a picture.
Let us know. He also mentioned the Frizzell try where Hunt did that dodgy little kick and no one really, you know, put their body on the line.
Yeah, I mean, see, when you lose by one try, that's the bloody difference.
Thank you, Greg. Now, I've got a letter from Michael from Canberra, or as some people say, Canberra. And it's a little bit lengthy, but I want to read it to you, Newman, and to our listeners, because it's a beauty. And it sums up how we all feel. A pathetic second half display, unprofessional, in fact. The team makeup isn't right. This happened in 2015 with the Gordon and Barbara conundrum.
This is correct. That's correct.
We were saved then because Berg came in and played so well as a rookie in the halves. But he had to because we were 0-4 and the knives were out. Robson was a better game manager than Townsend is now. He picks Gray out of spite because Ramian signed with the Knights. Remember when he picked Brown of the Mitch variety ahead of Val in 2015?
Who could forget?
Pathetic. The whole...
He also says get bent.
He does. I'm trying to shorten it, but I can't. The whole rotation bench is wrong. Paulo and Seggy need to play more minutes to spell Brayley if he can't play 80. And to be honest, Fifita played too long in the first stint. The senior players and the coach are the ones doing the dumb stuff. Gallen, Wade, Fifita, Pryor. Without Ennis and Louis, there's no real on-field leadership. We obviously learn nothing, and this is my bit that I like. We do no game film review. We've learned nothing from last year. We've learned no lessons.
They do. They do game field review. And they do practice kickoffs. I have had that confirmed.
I reckon they're on their phones playing games or something.
Yeah,
game
I know.
Well. Thank you very much, Michael. That was a long one, but a very succinct one. There's not much to say. You've nailed it.
Now, Troy from Maitland, he says, hold the ball. How hard is it? I wanted Ramian over Gray, and now I'm 100% convinced. Well, guess what, Troy? You're getting it. So I hope you're pumped up driving the truck down from Maitland and tooting the horn because Ramian's playing and Ramian's going to be good. I'm getting pumped. He is a proponent of Moylan to fullback too.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. We have Owen from Marrickville.
Owen 2?
No, it's Owen. He's a great man. I was at a gig with Owen in the off-season. He's a good fellow. He was chatting me up about the Sharks. Gentlemen, love the potty. Keep up the good work. Wondering if you could use your vast network of contacts to find out how many times we've won at home when Sweet Caroline has been played at halftime. My gut feeling is bugger all. That's not true, but I understand what you're saying.
When did they start Sweet Caroline?
At least a year and a half ago. I want to say 2016. It certainly derailed the boys' efforts last night. It also may have contributed to the halftime fracas in the northwest corner. I love a little bit of Neil Diamond, but it's more suited to lounge rooms and karaoke bars, yada, yada, yada.
I don't mind it. I can see why, because people get superstitious about that stuff, right? But we have won when it's been played, and it's a bit of fun. Like,
I think Owen's having a bit of fun too, but I understand his frustration. I haven't a very minor issue with the fact that the Boston Red Sox have been doing it for like 50 years. It's their song.
There's no original ideas.
It's like the Viking clap in Canberra. No, that's been done in Minnesota.
Yeah, but
like,
there are no original ideas.
Let's have one. Let's have Dave Faulkner in the corner playing That's My Team. After your chat with him, he might do it.
Well, yeah, he seemed enthusiastic.
It was better than the grand final night. He was much more receptive.
He didn't remember me from grand final night,
thank God.
At least.
Thank God.
He didn't remember me.
How is it that I do?
I know. And Josh says, shame about the derby result. Ended up paying a bloke at work $50 to take my shift that night.
This?
And was absolutely filthy with that second half performance. On the plus side, he doesn't have to shout you a King Juan dinner. Do we have any word on how long Katoa is out for? We think 4 more weeks?
Yeah, week 7 probably.
And what do you predict Flano will do with the lineup once he's fit to go again? Now, that's hard to say.
I have no idea because it comes down to the fullback scenario. Because if Val... Well, Val's going to stay on the wing. So it means you have to drop Fecky. And I don't know if he's droppable at the moment.
I'm not seeing anything that great out of Fecky.
Nothing that bad either.
No.
He's been consistent for a long time. I don't know, but I think Katoa is needed in the team. So.
Well, I think I can almost guarantee what will happen with Katoa is he'll have a game for the Jets to test that jaw out before,
yeah, sure.
Before he plays first grade. So at least we'll get a cider on, you know, and if he tears him up in the Jets, then Flano's got a problem.
Now, we've got one from Nathan. He said, the second half, which is the same old Paul ball handling, giving away cheap penalties, looks like we haven't learnt our lesson. Bad game management when they had a man in the sin bin. Inexcusable and pathetic. I mean, they're harsh words from our listeners, but that sums it up, doesn't it?
They're all true.
I'll tell you what, what did you call it? The Jesus session?
I'm the Jesus.
Should be down here at the Yacht Club.
Yeah.
Me and you reading out these letters.
I know. Not the nicest day down here. There's a strong southerly blowing and you can see some of the boats tipping against each other, but...
I'd be happy to do it one-on-one, like not have the whole team in here reading the letters to them. Just one-on-one. So, Fafita, sit down, start crying.
Speaking of the Yacht Club, we are rounding, Samuel, on our 100th podcast episode.
This is true.
And as such, we will be having a little celebration for friends, family, and friends and family of the Sharkcast pod. So, keep an ear out.
What are you thinking, Newman? Like... Game night, away game night?
Away game night might be the way to do it. And we'll have a knees up down at the Yacht Club.
Yep.
And what I'll make happen is there'll be some transportation from Woolworths Station. So if you can get a train to Woolworths Station, they've got a courtesy bus. And we'll make sure that the courtesy bus comes.
I was
going
to say, this doesn't involve me and my car going back and forth, does it?
No. They've got a courtesy bus down at the Yacht Club. And I think it's like a Mercedes. I went down there on the weekend, right?
You can't keep you out of here.
I know. Well, I love it down here.
Imagine
it's so good. And, like, I took an Uber. Now, here's another deal, right? If you're a member of the Yacht Club, you get $5 off your Uber down to the club.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, that's another deal. But...
So, if you're Ben Ross, you can go there for free.
They knew I was coming, right? Uber knew I was going to the Yacht Club because I put down... You know, you can put the title down.
Yeah.
And, it, like, a brand new Range Rover pulls up. That's my Uber, a brand new Range Rover. And I'm like, this is so good. This is so good, the Yacht Club.
I wonder how they rated you.
I got a good rating. I hit an Uber driver up to tell me what my rating was, and it was like 4.9. I'm always very friendly to Uber drivers, taxi drivers.
Point off because you were too chatty?
I think probably because of, you know, getting one at 2 in the morning and...
Like guitar pedal talk.
Yeah, guitar pedal
talk. I got a Boss tuner. What do you got?
Yeah, Boss
DS1. Fender are no good.
Now, do you sequence your delay pedal before or after your volume boost?
People are going, what are you talking about?
Yeah, all right, that wraps us up for the letters. And when we come back on the other side, we are going to have a preview of this week's all of a sudden must-win game against the Parramatta Eels.
We lost 54-0.
Yeah, so let's keep that in the bank. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Let's have a look. He's got the ball. He's got the leg out. The leg's out. The Sharks will win. The leg is out. The Sharks will win.
The Sharks have just realised, looking at the big screen, there's a foot gone out. The crowd then resumed where they were a matter of 10 seconds.
Okay, Newman. Thankfully, the great thing about rugby league is you get to have another go next week, and the same can be said for both teams this week. Boy, oh boy, both teams got a lot to prove, but we're only concerned about our lovely club, the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. They've got to turn it around, as
now,
our friends
Sam,
Husky,
I'm just,
say.
As we're recording this.
Stop. I'm scared what you're going to say.
I am monitoring the Twitter feed, Paul Gallen has been ruled out of the team with a foot injury.
What?
No timeline on his return.
What?
But, well, it's going to ask you what you thought of Gallen's output, and he's so busted, you know. You see him in the press conference, he's got cuts and scrapes, he's got a Gavin Miller nose. His body is just not, he's not a young man.
Just looking at his output last week, Newman, he
tell
made
me
the,
about it,
he made
I've
the
got
most
a theory.
Meters for us,
did
132
he?
Meters. Two tackle bars. He made 18 tackles, which is fairly average for our forwards. He played 56
minutes.
How
many tackles did he miss? Do you have a stat for that?
Yeah, he missed 2 of 18.
Okay.
Can't see how
I
key
felt
they
like
were
he sort of missed more, and he's spending a lot of time on his haunches. I'm not saying
that's the best stats there, so he
yeah,
missed
right.
2.
There are some people saying he's gone one season too many already.
I want to know who those people are, just because he's so maligned in this society that we live in for whatever reason, and I don't trust other people's opinion of him, to be honest. I have my own opinion of him. I'll respect yours if you're other people's, but
well,
when
I'm
it comes
not gonna
down to the every man or woman just saying, Paul Gallen, I tend to just tune out.
I'm not saying he's gone one season too many. I don't think you can judge him on 2 games, but he's been down on his best form.
We were made aware of the fact that he had a minor injury leading into the season. It kept him out of trials. He's played both games, as you say, not to the best of his ability. Still 100% heart and effort. But it's a big loss.
It is.
This week especially. Let's go through the team, Newman, and we'll see what's going to happen with it.
Rip through it, because it's not going to run out that way, obviously.
So we've got Dugan at fullback, Fecky and Valentine Holmes on the wings. Jesse Ramia makes a welcome return along with Ricky That Tackle Latelli in the centres. We have Matt Moylan and Chad Townsend in the halves. Our front row is Andy Fifita, Matt Pryor, Jaden Braley in the middle of that. Back row, one of my favourite players, Jason Bikuya, and the co-captains, Wade Graham. Well, Paul Gallen was listed. He's out.
He's out.
Put a red pen through him. The bench that we had, or have, is Kirk Capewell, James Seguiaro, Big Arva, and Captain America, with an extended bench of Kurt Dillon, Senior Jack Williams, even though he's not very old, Edric Lee, and Luke Lewis.
So you'd have to think that Kurt Dillon probably comes into the team on the bench, and Bikuya goes to 13, or... So what do we do here?
They could throw Capewell in and play second row. Captain America could play second row.
Mm. What about Big Joey Paulo going into 13?
Yeah,
he's playing in the middle anyway.
Yeah, he can play lock. I don't mind that at all, actually. But you're right. Someone's going to have to come in. We don't think Luke Lewis is going to play. It won't be Edric Lee. Won't be Jack Williams. So you'd think Kurt Dillon will come in there.
Seggy's also played a bit of 13 over his career. Got home.
It's pretty little.
It doesn't go down that road.
Tough kid, but pretty little.
Yeah.
That's shocking news.
Yeah, that hurts our chances. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, talking about chances,
yeah.
Parramatta,
yeah.
They were dreadful.
What's
they
the
were
matter,
woeful.
Parramatta?
They were shocking. They got beat 54-0. I was concerned about Parramatta. People were talking Parramatta up about the comp.
Yeah.
They always disappoint, right?
They're not that bad, though, right?
Well, they were that bad on fit. They weren't trying.
There is a theory that both games they've already played have been in extreme heat, which is a fact.
Please, it's March. Give me a break.
No, they were hot days.
It's Australian summer, mate. And Manly had to play in it too, and were great.
Yeah, apparently Parramatta warmed up for half an hour more.
Oh, man.
50-point turnarounds, Newman. They do happen.
Tell me, Fox Sports stats, Sam Shenazzi, how often do they happen? So a team loses by 50 one week and then turns around and wins the next week.
Of the last 9 or 10 times, it's happened 3 times.
Okay, so it's not that rare.
No, Parramatta have done it in recent times.
Mm-hmm.
But the stat goes the other way. It's more likely you are going to lose. So if you're relying on that to win rather than our heart, desire, and effort and skill, there's that in our bag. My opinion also, Newman, is that our second half was just bloody awful, and for me, it was a 54-0 loss. It might as well have been. And we've got a lot to prove. We've got as much to prove as they do. You know, people are questioning Chad Townsend's ability to steer the boys around the park. They're questioning Fifita's commitment and all sorts of things. Valentine Holmes, they've got a lot to prove.
The thing is, right, Dugan gets that ball down in the corner, we probably win the game.
Yep.
So, and there were a few things in that Cowboys game too where we could have won the game even though we were not the better team. So we've been in each game, and the players are probably thinking we should, you know, a good performance is just around the corner. Parramatta wouldn't be thinking that. But I will say this, Samuel. My little spies tell me there was a bit of a argy-bargy in the sheds after the game. Not physical,
right?
But a few players, you know,
voicing their opinions?
Yeah, getting into each other. A bit of disunity.
I wonder how that was. I wonder if that was let go.
Me two things, right? They care.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Of course they care.
But two, there's things are fraying. You know, they feel like things aren't going to plan, which they're not.
No, they're not.
But I feel that a good performance isn't far away.
Of course it is. In 2015, the first year we did the podcast, and you remember we did the podcast, we were like, you know what? There's so much bad press. Let's do our own little thing and let's get the truth out there.
Went
and oh boy, 2014, well, we can only go better. And then 0-4, then we were like, what have we got ourselves into? Enter Jack Bird. The rest is history. Had a pretty good year that year and so on. So a good performance around the corner will change a lot of things. They've been their own worst enemy. They pretty much ruled themselves out of both games. I mean, Cowboys were okay, Dragons were okay, but they were both winnable games. So it's up to us to play well. I hope the Sharks aren't going to take this mob too lightly, which is definitely a possibility.
I think that what I understand, they are taking this game very, very seriously indeed.
Yeah.
As you said, there was a come to Jesus meeting with Val.
Yeah.
There was a come, and he can only improve. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
He's starting from a low level.
His first half, I saw a few runs there, which were like the old Val, which was pleasing, but obviously was nowhere near enough. Yeah.
And I think we can only see an improved output from the likes of Wade Graham. So I don't tip us with any confidence, but I feel that a good performance isn't that far away. And traditionally, you know, we've gone okay without Gallen.
Yeah, they have. They have gone okay. And that for me, that's just a weird stat. Like, and all the haters are going to jump on board and go, he hogs the ball, yada, yada, yada.
He doesn't do that anymore.
He doesn't do it anymore. It's just some sort of weird stat that we actually were winning games when he wasn't around.
Now, the game's part of a festival of rugby league, a doubleheader, with Manly v Souths, the early game, and we are on at 7:30 on Saturday night at ANZ Stadium. I can't stand ANZ Stadium. Are you going, Samuel?
I'm not going. I'm not able to go. I will be watching, which I'm very thankful for. We might watch it together. It was pretty good in October 2, 2016, but since then and before
no,
that...
No, no, I mean you know, the club games for regular
I'm
season
just
club
razzing
games.
It's soulless. It's empty and it's soulless. I admire the fact they're doing double headers. There's ticket deals, transport deals. We encourage you to go out there and support the boys.
Is there a transport deal to get... Because you now live around the corner.
I do.
Right?
Thankfully.
Have you tried to get to ANZ Stadium at 7:30?
What I'm saying is, let me clarify, if I buy a pre-purchase ticket, I can use that to get myself onto a train or bus.
Okay, so tell me how you get to you. We could probably always see the station from your place.
We get it from Caringbah to Redfern.
Yep.
And we hop
45 minutes.
Hop on the Homebush area train to
Lidcombe.
Yep. Get the
get
express,
a third train. Get a third train.
Yeah. Hopefully no one's
so it's like,
throwing up on me or anything.
So it's like an hour 20. It's just a shit of a joint to get to. I know we don't like to swear on
we
this
don't.
Podcast, but you know, sometimes you've got to emphasize. And I'm not going.
Saying, Newman, is that I'm encouraged by the fact that they are trying to do something about it. Like, okay, it's the wrong place, but at least the NRL are going, here's two games for one, here's some deals.
So if you can get
kids,
a $20 ticket.
With kids, I believe.
You know, that's a reasonable night out.
Of course it is.
And then there's $480 for a pie and chips.
I think out there they're doing deals as well, Newman,
okay.
at the stadium. So
know.
Check it out. Go
hey,
on the
I noticed, like...
Don't be a negative Nancy.
Penrith, right? Someone put it on Twitter or on LinkedIn. They have members' beer prices. So if you're a member of the club, you go into the stadium and it's like $6 for a beer. Non-members, $9. Like, and I like that. Just carve the non-members. Carve them.
$9 is too much for a beer.
I don't know if it's $9.
I like that. Gussie's out there. He's thinking outside the square. I like it.
Yeah.
Maybe we could raise that with some of our contacts.
So are you tipping it? What are you? Oh, I've just got another tweet come through.
Yeah.
We've got Luke Cavell from Benora Point.
Leaping Luke Cavell.
Leaping Luke Cavell's got a tip for us.
What's that?
Always look both ways when you cross the road.
I'll keep that in mind. Especially if you're overseas and the traffic's going the other way. You've got to do it. My God. My tip, Newman, for this week is it's got to be a Sharks win. I think there might be some points in this game. At their core, not this year, but at their core, both teams have attacking players. And I hope that we're going to win probably 22 to 14 or something.
Yeah, I can only see it being a scoreline like that.
Yeah.
I don't see either. Well, I think if we lose, Parra could run away with it, but I think it'll be a tight game, edge of your seat. Your clacker's going to be pulsating as usual. Come on, Cronulla.
Come on.
They're battling.
They're so much better. That's the problem. They're so much better individually and collectively. And then to see them just not compete. They didn't compete last week. Like, the effort was there. Yeah, we're proud of the effort. They didn't hang on to the ball.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, also, man.
It's the Johnny Manor Cup.
Yes.
So it's always got a bit more feeling. It's a bit more than a regular game. Johnny Manor played for both clubs.
Yeah.
That'll motivate both clubs. Joey Paulo was in the press talking about how he was great mates with Johnny Manor.
Yeah.
So bring us home a bit of silverware, boys.
Yeah.
And we say it every week, Sam. But I'm really mean it this week.
I'm scared if we don't win, Newman. That's why I want us to win.
This is the Descendants with hope and up the Sharks.
Why can't you say that you talk to me? Come on, boys. Bring it home.